August 19, 2020, is a Wop from Pedro show. Thank you.
the garbage I've accumulated in my mind and refresh it with something right. Start the morning tree climb racket.
Watch for Pedro show. Happy Wednesday. Middle of the month. Got a bunch of fires, but they're not in Pedro. But it is sweaty here. I'm not with Brother Matt. Went in quarantino mode, so he's a couple miles south at the Pleasure Point Love Grotto. Not totally man alone, though, due to those engineers in Estonia. With their Skype invention, I got Ollie Heffernan with me. Welcome aboard, Ollie.
Hey.
Thanks so much for being on the show. We've known each other a while, but and I've been playing your music for buttloads. We're talking going back to Detective Instinct.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a while ago, I know.
Buttload. And you're just a little south of Newcastle on the east coast of England, right?
Just a little south, about 45 minutes.
Because I think the last time I played at the Clooney in Newcastle, I got to share the stage with you.
Yeah, yeah, we played with you at my old band, Year of Birds.
Right. Oh, I should tell the people what we started the fucking show with. Sorry. It was John Coltrane doing Like Sonny, and of course that's for Sonny Rollins, who was a big, I guess the lick was kind of a Sonny Rollins lick, but he's a big inspiration. You know, that bridge, right? He pracked on the bridge, and John Coltrane was way into Pratt. And then we had something from this new album that you put out during this quarantino mode as Ivan the Intolerable, A New Possibility.
And this
got me aboard doing spiel. Now, people, these aren't my words. These are Karen Schomer's words. So it's kind of a three-way thing. Well, more than that, because Ollie got the music together with a couple of his buddies, but then had me. First, I read some other writer. There was a problem.
Yeah, it was Carver.
Right, right. I'm sorry. I should. He's a great writer, but couldn't get permission.
Yeah, yeah, sadly.
Right, 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 right. So instead, Karen Schomer came to rescue, and we got to use some of her writing. And
yeah, I think it's better.
You think it's better?
I think the new version's better than the Carver version, yeah.
Well, definitely they're different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But what's trippy about it is the music's the same, but because of the spiel, yeah.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
We're going to get into that later. Because I'm really curious about this record, but I want to really go back to earlier parts of your music, like as far back as you can remember, Ollie. What's your first musical recollection that you can still have in your brain?
Going back, I think the first time I ever remember anything was getting those crappy classical guitars that you get for like £10 and they don't stay in tune and they're like toy guitars. I got one of them when I was about 13. My dad said he'd get me one of them, but he wouldn't get me a proper one until I actually learned how to play something.
Because
I used to be terrible for doing something and then giving up and going on the next thing. So he said, if you stick with it, I'll get you a proper one. And I stuck with it for about a year. Then he got me a bass, and then I just went from there.
You know,
never stopped since.
Some of them, the strings were like fishing line.
Yeah, see-through.
It was like, you know, when you say nylon string, but I mean, this was like fucking, like... Fishing.
Yeah,
I remember them, Kyle. So, Ollie, how old were you when you got that toy guitar?
13, 14, somewhere about mid-90s, early 90s, so 93, 94.
You're just getting out of grade school. What about in the pad that you grew up? Where was it?
Middlesbrough.
Oh, same town. So, yeah, okay. You haven't wandered far.
No. But, same as you, never left.
Yeah, well, once I got to Pedro, you're right.
Yeah, yeah.
But I ventured from Pedro, but the bungee cord, yeah, snaps me back. But I'm curious, in the pad, before that guitar, was there any musical instruments?
No, no one in my family plays anything. Okay. I'm a very unmusical family.
Well, were they listeners?
Yeah, but just the crappy stuff, like the usual, like mum and dad stuff.
So not big.
And neither of them, no, they don't listen to music. My sister doesn't. I've just got my mum and my dad and my sister, and that was what I grew up with. And no one liked music, really, apart from me. They're more television people.
So they weren't a big, what I'm trying to get at, they weren't a big influence on you musically.
No, definitely not.
But I gotta say, Ollie, your pop kind of influenced by getting you that fucking guitar.
Definitely. I'll always thank him for that.
Yeah, you had to take lessons. But why did he want to get you a bass?
No, I wanted a bass. I've never had a lesson.
Oh, you wanted a bass.
I just taught myself. But he said I had to stick with it and not just give up. I got a bass because me and my friends decided we were going to start a band before any of us could play anything. So we all just got different instruments and I got the bass. And I learned how to play it. And it's still my favorite thing.
I'm curious, though. Why did you want the bass?
Because it's the thing I listen to. It's the thing I hear in music. I always have.
Okay. You know who told me that same thing?
Who?
Jah Wobble. You know, because... No, Ollie, I'm telling you this because where I come from, and a lot of people have been on the show that ended up on bass, they started on guitar, but it was easier to get gigs. But Jah Wobble, the L.A. record people had me do an interview with him. He actually told me that's what he wanted to play first. It wasn't like some second pick thing.
No, definitely I agree. I always chose it, and then I've gone on to other things, but...
Can I ask you about school? Were you in the school band, or were you in the choir, or shit like that?
No, never, ever, ever done any sort of formal sort of music lessons, training, stuff like that. Never done any of that. I've always just been in bands.
Well, what about listening? What was the first record you bought for yourself?
Oh, for God's the first single I bought for myself.
Yeah.
Was probably, I don't know, probably around Britpop, I would have thought. So maybe Oasis or something like that. Something terrible.
And then
when I was at school.
What was the first gig that you went to?
The first gig I ever went to, there's a free festival in Stockton, which is just like the next town along from Middlesbrough. And they have a free festival there every year with bands. I went to that. And I went every year from about 13, 14. And kids could go, so it's not much in England kids could go to then.
Yeah, but who was playing? Who was one of the bands at that festival that you remember seeing?
Oh, it was just all local bands. The first band I remember seeing that I paid to go and see was probably Suede at the Town Hall.
Who were they?
Another Britpop thing.
Oh, yeah. What were they called? Suede.
Yeah.
You know, Suede is pigskin over here. And there was a shoe when I went to junior high school, like the most fancy shoe I ever wore. It was called a wallaby. And a wallaby was made out of suede. Okay, and they had like some kind of rubber bottom that, like, when the asphalt, like today, hot, it would stick.
Yeah, I remember them.
And they had, like, only, like, two laces and then this big, like, kind of seam that went all the way around the top there. They were fun.
Yeah.
I'd fuck them up because I dragged my feet. This is one reason why my mom got me Converse tennis shoes, because they had big rubber toes, because I'd drag my feet and wear the fucking toes out. And and the Converses lasted a lot longer.
Definitely.
Oh, man, that's a trip. So you guys, you wanted to make, like, the garage band, the basement, bedroom band, and you got put on bass, or you chose bass.
I chose bass.
And what was that first bass? Would you mind telling me?
It was a P-Bass copy.
Okay.
I think it was a vintage or one of those, like, Encore or something, like $100 one.
Sure. And what about amp?
It was my first amp was this really big, fat old valve thing that's probably worth a fortune now, but at the time it was like, no kids use these things. They weighed a ton. And they were always breaking. And I got it from, like, a second-hand music shop in Middlesbrough.
Now,
I don't know anymore.
Middlesbrough, it's on the water, huh?
Yeah, it's about 10 minutes from the sea. Minutes from the North Yorkshire Moors.
You got a beach?
Yeah. Little three beaches.
Okay. Oh, three beaches. Okay, bitching. Now, did this band have a name?
My school band never really, you change the band name every week. That's what we did.
Right. And did you ever?
The terrible ones.
Did you ever do a gig?
My first band, no, we did one.
What was it like, Al?
My first gig, I've never been as scared of anything in my entire life.
Yeah.
Because I'm not really it wore off quickly, it was just that first gig. Okay. I was just like, I cancelled three before it because I just couldn't do it.
And where was it?
And then I finally did it.
What was it about? Where was it?
It was just upstairs in a pub.
Okay.
Just in town. It was just like, I was bricking it for weeks and weeks and weeks, like sleepless nights. And then I finally did it. Then I was like, I don't know what all the fuss was about.
You broke the water.
Yeah. And then after then, I'm absolutely fine since.
All right. Now, I'm curious, did you guys write your own songs or did you copy off records like me and D Boone?
We did both. It was like Britpop. It's like when Britpop happened, every kid in the country who was aged between like 13 and 17 wanted to start a band. And then like that went away and then tastes changed. But yeah, we did mostly started with covers while we were still learning what we were doing. And then we went on to write our own songs.
Can you remember?
Which just sounded like the songs we were covering.
Well, Ali, can you remember the first song you wrote yourself?
The first thing I ever recorded and wrote on my own was like a sound collage thing.
Okay, that's still music.
Yeah, and that was when I was about 15. About 15. And I was getting into like Beefheart and stuff like that.
Sure.
And I did some of these. I got like a tape 4-track.
Yeah.
Borrowed one of them off a friend and I just made some sound collages. And then I was still in like normal bands, but my recordings of my own were always a bit weirder.
They weren't like 100% bass.
Oh, no, no. I had loads of other instruments that I'd acquired over the years, like shitty keyboards and organs, and I used to run things backwards and stuff like that. I'm just messing about, just learning as I go.
Even at 15, that's bitching. Look, I want to play another song here from the new album. I have Intolerable. This is called Alphabet City.
Thank you. radio functioning and not critical. Or at least my father's clock radio was that way. It went off in the suburban dawn of his heritage mahogany bureau, playing AM news radio station with a tink of sound in the background. Rose in the dark, showered. Thank you.
白痴の少年夢うつつうつつうつつ夢うつつうつつと滑って行きまする意識の斜面記憶の斜面うつつと滑って行きまするあくちの少年気もそぞろそぞろそぞろ気もそぞろそぞろと走って行きまする時間の裏道命の裏道そぞろと走って行きまする
I'm not afraid to die. Sprigs into a misshapen bunch.
Really? Really? You'll go to breakfast? Stretches arches his back. Is now the old wide jaw puppet. Cheek gone hard and tight. Presses his palms to his eyes. Then squints with displeasure at the window. Was the disorder? What closet did we hide it in?
Walk for Pedro show. I'm intolerable. Sorry about that. Fucked up. Alphabet City. You know Alphabet City? There was a neighborhood in. When I first started touring in New York City, it was the Lower East Side. It's where all the drogas was.
I watched the. I was reading Chris Francis' Talking Heads book.
And oh, yeah.
Talking about Alphabet City in there.
Right, because CBGB wasn't too far. The Bowery wasn't too far from there.
Yeah, yeah. That's what he was saying.
It's like Avenue A, B, C. That's where it's got its name and shit. Like.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then we heard brand new from Hiro Ama, Broken Satellite. He's a. Like you, making, and like myself, making use of this time to get creative.
Yeah, yeah.
What else the fuck we're going to do? And Sally, before that, this is Fuson's band back in the late 70s in Osaka. Fun boy. After that, this guy, Peter? Or maybe Paul. Asshole lot. You know, God damn, my memory. Maybe it's Paul, but he's an Indianapolis cat. He just sent me some recordings he did of a gig Minuteman and Meat Puppets did in Indianapolis in 1985, and that was Hot Pink, and then after that was us Minutemen doing this song I wrote for us called Retreat. And after that, brand new from Mr. Tom in Pittsburgh, Ass to Truth. He's got a new album out that's bitchin'. And then finally... White Lamp, Ivan the Intolerable. So, off air, you were telling me the moment things really... it's one thing to get on and play with your guys and play in that pub upstairs and record on your four track, but what really turned it around for you?
I think everything changed at the point where I discovered The Fall. And just everything that I'd listened to before then I was going off all that stuff, and I was thinking, there's got to be more out there. And you know, you read music magazines, and it was before the internet, so you had to do all the digging manually, borrow things off friends and make tapes. And I heard The Fall one day, I think probably on John Peel. And
oh, he played them a lot, right? John Peel played The Fall a lot, right?
Yeah, all the time.
So you heard them before you saw them?
I heard them. I didn't see them till 2000. So they came and played Middlesbrough in 2000. That was the first time I saw them. I heard them on the radio and I got addicted instantly.
I only got to see them once in 1981 or 82. They came and played here in L.A. with Blur.
That's a good year to see them.
But yeah, but the dude, the singer, man, Marky Smith, he didn't turn around. It was his culo the whole gig. But it was all right. It was bitching. And Blurt was with them, and they were bitching. And then there were some local guys called Divine Horsemen, which was Chris D's Flesh Eaters with some of the X guys and Blaster guys. And it was a good gig. But that's the only time I got to see him. But up to the Slag Slates, the 10-inch thing, man, I love those records. So, but here, you tell me about your experience.
I think I was just listening to John Peel like I did, and he was just playing all the usual techno at the wrong speed and reggae, and none of that really ever did anything for me. And then this song came on, and I was just like, what is this? I think it was something off, what was it, maybe Antidote, something off Levitate, like late 90s, mid 90s. And just the voice, I was just like, I couldn't understand it. It was just didn't make any sense. And I was just like, this is amazing. Is it amazing or is it terrible? I don't know. But I kept wanting to listen to more. So I borrowed things off friends, taped stuff off the radio. And my mum used to work in the library. And I used to be able to go and like get CDs and tapes out of the library for free. And I used to do that. I think I got a full one out of the library and listened to that. And then all my other music just fell by the wayside. And I just fell in love with this band. And then from there, I've just gone off on tangents from The Fall. Everything I like, you can trace back to The Fall within like two or three steps.
Now, you know, the way Marky Smith, his act, can you tell his accent? Can you tell he's Manchester?
Early on, definitely. By the end, by the sort of the last decade, you couldn't understand the word he was saying, and I only lived 2 hours away from him.
No, I ask you that, Ollie, because I got a chance to talk with Pete Shelley after we shared the stage at this gig. And he didn't. I was waiting for like the Marky Smith voice.
No, he's got a very strange voice. It's the delivery early on, early Mark. He sounds very much like where he's from.
You mean the Bingo?
Bingo Masters. Basically up to the 90s. That's when his voice went different. But, yeah, by the end, it was just, I couldn't even tell what country he was from, let alone what town.
Okay, I just wanted to check from somebody that...
No, it's definitely not you.
Okay. And, but you didn't want to be a Fall copy guy, but he was definitely an inspiration for you.
Oh, yeah. I've never, bits of it will come across in stuff I do, but I've never, ever been in a band that just sounds like The Fall. Right. But yeah, it's the attitude more than the music that was an inspiration. Just banging them out.
Now, what,
like, more than an album a year and stuff like that.
But what about the other thing where it still sounds like The Fall, even though there's like, what, 50 different dudes?
Yeah, there's like 50 different bands, and then just him, he's the only constant. And they say, what did he say? If it's me and your granny on bongos, it's The Fall.
But you know what? Conceptually, it seems you got kind of that going. I noticed that with the Detective Instinct. Like, there was something about it that still made it Detective Instinct, no matter who you had involved.
Yeah, I've thought that before. Like, I've sent stuff to people, and they've said, like, with different singers on and different musicians, and they said, oh, they can always tell it's me. But I don't know. I guess that's just one of those things. It's always going to be there. If I'm doing it, it's going to sound like me, and then you put other people on, and it still sounds like me, which is nice. It's annoying sometimes, because sometimes I try and make something that sounds completely not like me, and then it still sounds like me.
But
so why fight it?
But also, Ollie, you got parallel universes going, right? Because you'll serve in other people's bands, and then still have your solo projects.
Oh, yeah. It's all I do. I think I've made six albums during lockdown.
Okay.
With various people, and I've done a load of EPs, and I've done like, just been collaborating with people over email just because there's no else to do.
Yeah, but are they separate worlds, or do they inform each other?
They inform each other. Definitely everything I start informs each other, and then stuff that I'm more involved in as a sort of, it's someone else's thing that I'm doing a bit on.
I
take things from that. I definitely take things from that. Doing working with Adjie for the last
I was going to mention it.
Got a lot from him.
And people out there, listeners, we played a lot on the show. It's the King Champion sounds.
Yeah.
How many years with him now?
That band's been going 2013 we started.
Okay, 7 years. Wow.
Yeah, we started that band to play with you in Amsterdam.
That's right.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a one-off gig. We've done five albums.
It's a small one. Yeah, and with GW Silk. I mean, it's incredible. We're at the end of the first hour. August 19, 2020 edition of the Wap Peter Show. Special guest, Ollie Heffernan. Hold tight for hour two. August 19, 2020. It's the second hour of the Wap from Peter Show.
Oh shit. played it when I was living on my own in Cape Fear. You could use these. They're like new.
Going, where's it gonna end? by the roadside, by the roadside. I've been acting to a rolling stone ever since you left me all alone. By the roadside, by the roadside. If I take it's on account of you. Hey, 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 by the roadside. Honey, by the roadside. By the roadside. By the roadside. Thank you.
fucking Christ, watch where you're going.
Bob from Pedro Show. We're laughing about our common, the Queen's language here, and our common having a good time with it. Start the second hour off with, and everything had its place. Because this related to me, people, the concept of being sorted. You know, it took a little while for slow learner what? Ivan the Intolerable. And then Sam Bennett out of Tokyo with originally Birmingham, but he's been in Tokyo a long time now. By the Roadside, Wild Rats, not brand new. 1997 we recorded this, but it just came out yesterday. Ronnie leading us through Funhouse, me, Thurston, Stu Shelley, Mark Arms singing. And then Orange Foam, Blood, Ivan the Intolerable. From the guy making all the racket on the other end of the Skype line here. This is Ollie.
And his, sorry.
And well, yeah, I know. I don't want to make you feel you're being ignored because I'm windbagging with these fucking credits. So, you know those guys that you were in the band with school, and then after, but you didn't stop music when school stopped.
No, I've never stopped.
Well, tell me what happened right after school.
Right after school, the three people I was in a band with, by that point, I was getting into the fall. They still liked crappy Britpop. So I was getting itchy feet, and I met some other friends at college, started another band. And it was just all sort of like localish stuff. But it was getting more and more. Every time I wanted to do something different, I was aware that the band I was with wasn't going to be able to do it. So I've always been like, when the time's right to do a new thing, I'll do a new thing. And it got to a point where there was five or six things happening at the same time. Because one band's never enough for me because I like so much music. I'd get annoyed if I can't. Like, why can't we do this 25-minute synth song in this punk band? So I start another band.
But can I ask you, on a personal level, how do you remember all the fucking different songs and parts?
I've got an incredible memory. Okay. It's my favorite. Probably my biggest strength is my memory.
Because you don't use charts.
No, I don't write anything down.
God damn. Respect.
Yeah. I can still play things like that I could play. I haven't played since I was 16. If I caught a guitar, I could still play it. Wow. I've made mistakes, but the gist of it would be there.
Like a kind of a muscle memory, almost.
Yeah. And we had the same thing when I was in the Year of Us band that played with you in Newcastle. We had the same thing as probably the Minutemen, where you're playing, like, your songs are so short, you're playing, like, 30, 40 songs in a set.
Like,
so
it's
we
one,
had that as well.
Like, it's one big fucking song.
Yeah, it's just one big song. You set this on, like, A3 paper.
Oh, okay. That thing when you were 15 and you were with the 4-track Man Alone, you were still doing stuff like that too?
Yeah. I was still just in bands with my friends, and then I was doing these things at home on my own. And I don't think there's ever been a time in my life when I haven't had a band and working on my own stuff as well.
Now, did you let other people hear? Were you releasing this stuff?
No. I think that the first solo thing that I'd written myself and recorded myself that I released was the first Detective Instinct 7-inches.
Okay. Up to that time, it's kind of like just for personal. And also, there wasn't really ways to do it easy.
No, yeah, it was like that coincided doing that with the sort of internet, everyone having the internet.
Right. And especially with these Bandcamp people, they've really helped out.
Oh, definitely, especially in the recent months.
Yeah, especially with the Fridays where they give all the bones to the artists.
Yeah, because the first time they did that, when was March or April? I think it was March. It was like a couple of days after I got sent home from work, not knowing when I was if I was going back, and I still haven't gone back. And then they did that, so I'd made an album the week before, so I had to put it out early to try and get some money. And it was amazing. I got enough to pay my rent. And
wow.
Yeah. So that's really saved my bacon early on.
Okay, I want to play Kick and Dust.
Side got aborted there. Right at a good point, though. El Dorado, city of gold. This is my favorite lyric of the summer season. The guy who wrote this is named Richard Hell. It's called "I Belong to the Blank Generation." forget that it was there.
record on a computer. I've never recorded on a computer.
You've never recorded on a computer? What do you use?
I use just an 8-track machine.
Yeah, but what's the media?
Oh, it's on a memory card. I used to record on tape.
Okay, so there's still a computer involved, though.
Machines.
There's still a computer involved.
I don't go through a computer. I just mix the whole thing on the machine, and then I put the finished music on my computer and tidy up a bit.
Yeah, but I
record a mix on a thing. Yeah. It means that if my computer crashes, I don't lose what I'm working on.
No, but I bet you that machine that you're recording on has a computer in it.
Oh, yes, of sorts. Yeah, it's digital.
You know, they say the fucking computer on your watch is more powerful than the shit that landed on the moon.
Yeah, I heard that the other day.
Yeah, I got to tell people what we just heard. We heard Kick and Dust by Ivan the Intolerable. Peter Lachner doing a version of Richard Hell's Blank Generation. Peter Lachner from the old Cleveland scene. Brannick Device just put out this thing, Cop 2020 Remix. I've played with these cats. They're a Lawrence, Kansas band. I played it with them a couple times at the Bottleneck. And finally, White Bone Talking, Ivan the Tolerable.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Ivan the Tolerable.
Yeah.
Where'd that name come from?
It was round about. I had a record shop. I opened a record shop in 2011. Which I named after a urinal song that Minutemen did.
Which one?
When I had my shop, I started a band at that time called Eurobirds, the band that played with you.
Okay.
And I had so much time in my shop because no one came in my shop. I took my guitar and my amp and my recording stuff into my shop, and I'd just sit and record all day while I was waiting for people to come in. And I was writing songs for my band, but then I started doing stuff and I'd like, give them to my band and they'd be like, we can't play this. And so that's when Ivan the Tolerable started, and Ivan the Tolerable was what the album was called that was going to be the Eurobirds album that they said, we can't do this, it's too weird. So I said, well, I'll just put it out under its own name then. So I just put this tape out, and it was just, the tape was just called Ivan the Tolerable. And a friend, someone heard it in a guy called Pete, who had a label called 1C, and he liked it, and he put the tape out, and then it just kind of snowballed into this thing that's never stopped. And I think I've on about 45 albums now.
Now, when you get an Ivan the Tolerable tune going, what's the first instrument?
It's bass, always, pretty much.
Oh, wow. Because I know a lot of one-man band, like, for example, Stevie Wonder or Dave Grohl, they started with the drums.
Yeah, I've done that too. I never, ever, ever start with... I don't think I've ever just sat down on a guitar and written a song. Ever.
Yeah.
I always had the guitar as, like, an extra instrument. And I never write songs on guitars. It's always, yeah, bass and drums first, always.
And
but the Ivan stuff's usually drum machine. It's only when I've got, like, full band, like, this album, that started with bass and, like, synthesizers. And I sent that to the drummer, and he did the drums, and then I just built it up from that.
And who is the drummer?
It's Mace from King Champion Sounds.
Oh, okay. He did a really good job.
He did.
Yeah.
He's quick as well. I've got, I try and, like, over the years, I've found out who all the quick people are, and they're the ones I send stuff to.
Oh, so he's in Holland, right?
Yeah, he's in Amsterdam. Well, okay. He's in Utrecht.
So in Utrecht. So
yeah.
He's got a place where his drum set is and he can record?
Yeah, so I just email him some bass and synth tracks, and he dumps it onto his laptop, goes in his studio, records me drum tracks, and then sends me them back.
Okay. And is that kind of the way you guys do King Champion Sounds?
No, we always do that. I fly over Holland to record King Champ stuff.
Okay. So you're all together with AJ.
Well, me and Mace and Ajay always start the King Champ stuff, and then we get the bass and drums down. Ajay records the bass and drums over like 3 days, and then I fly home, and then he'll spend a while arranging it and farting about with it, and then he'll do his guitars and get the horns in.
You know,
we kind of like conveyor belt, like one out the door and one comes in the door.
Sure.
We never, ever, ever recorded all in the same room.
Yeah, when I first met him, he was playing bass in Donkey and doing sound for
Jay
and Dinosaur.
That's when I first met him.
Okay. Great cat. I mean, I think Donkey opened up for Firehose in Eindhoven. We're at the end of the second hour. August 19, 2020, Dish Wap Pedro Show. Special guest, Ollie Heffernan. Hold tight for hour three. August 19, 2020, it's the third hour of the Wap from Pedro Show.
Thank you. Time. Love.
Walk for Pedro show start off the third hour with Chalk and Words. I'm the tolerable. And this is where Ollie, you know, he had to first deal with this situation. We're all in with the COVID-19. And what he did with his downtime. This is why he was waiting, while he was to mix the album that I'm on. And this is Chalk and Words. Crane and Skip after that with Do You Hear Me? Jam 7, Tragic Comedy. Pulled and Thrown by Moldom, and they're back from Baltimore. Steve Abercrombie, Jump Rope Posse. I think he's in Georgia. And then Ivan Tolable with Frying Pan Spit Kettles Purr. There's a slash there, people. So tell us about this record that you did in the interim.
Well, I've done. I think I'd sent it the stems of the Out of Season record to Adjay, and he was finishing something off, and he was going to do that next. So I get really impatient. So it was, I'd like message him a couple of times, like, Have you done it yet? And he's like, no, I'm busy. So I was like, I'll start another one. So I started another one. I did that record in like 3 days, start to finish.
So people, you understand that he was working on this record that I'm on, but since there was some delay of game, he went and just did another fucking album.
Just did another one.
I think that's beautiful, man. I love it.
And I've done three more while I've been waiting for this Out of Season to come out. I've done another record with Karen.
Okay. And see, people, this is what happens, people, when you rely on other people. But when you're doing it on your own, you can fucking...
You're doing it yourself.
Right, full steam ahead.
Yep.
Yeah.
The records I make with other people always take, like, the Out of Season record took... I started that last July, and I finished it this May. And it was just like, my bits, I was doing so quickly, and then just, like, firing it off to the next person. And then I'd just sit on my hands for, like, 2 months. And then, like, I'd email go, have you done it yet? And they'd be like, oh, no, I'll do it now. Like, oh, for God's sake, start another record. And then when lockdown started, I had 5 records that were like just in limbo. So I was like, right, I'm going to have some time off working. I didn't know how long. I was thinking it's going to be at least a month. So I thought, right, I'll start finishing some shit off. So I did, and I was like getting bits and bobs done. But then I suddenly found like, God, I've got all this time. Because I'm so used to, I've always had a full-time job. So my music, I've still done a lot of music, but I've always had to fit it around a full-time job.
Sure.
And suddenly, I'm just not at work, and I've never, ever been unemployed. I've just worked since I was 16. So I was like, wow, this is weird. Like, I've got so much time. So I finished 5 records off. I've started 3 more. It's been good, but it's been strange. I'm not used to having so much time.
Now, is there ever a danger of repeating yourself?
Well, that's the thing. That's the point I'm at now, I think. Where I'm trying to sort of... The sort of sound and sort of stuff I've been doing for the last maybe 3 or 4 Ivan records, I think I'm starting to feel like, I'm getting a bit itchy to do something different.
Because it's kind of a formula? You gotta bust
it
out.
It's kind of just, I'm doing this. I don't think the songs are repeating themselves, but definitely the way I'm working is repeating itself, and I'm running out of sounds. And the thing I really wanted, typical, I barely played live for years. King Champ plays live a lot, but all my other bands, like, I've never done an Ivan Tolerable gig ever. Whoa. It's just a recorded thing, but it's like Sod's Law. As soon as I'm not allowed to play any gigs, that's what I want to do. That's all I've been thinking about. Like, how could I do this live?
You mean, and like, then, you're talking to be like one man band mode?
No, I want to do it with other people.
Oh, okay.
Who shall I do it with? And like, I get a band and just start playing some of this stuff live because there's so much stuff. I'd never have to write a song again. I could just.
Here, I want to play the Thin Night.
Thank you. listen to the dead man singing. Listen to the dead man sing along. Every day the sunlight makes me high, fills me with so much beauty, makes me wanna cry. The faces in the papers, they don't come free. The story is told everywhere I go, don't speak to me. Listen to the dead man singing. Every day the whole world breaks my heart. Every night the stars burn up above. I see love, I see the murder of love. The child of the poison tree, standing across the river of what is yet to be. Honey, that's the life I'm living. Every day the world breaks my heart. I wonder how this river ever got so wide. When I see you driving out into the rain, it falls on me and I come alive again and again and again and again. Listen to the dead man singing. Every day the world breaks my heart. Every day the world breaks my heart. Every day the world breaks my heart. Thank you.
Too much of the devil in you. It's, you know.
Everybody, Yeah, Anna was good looking. That was a fine woman.
To carve out his own musical identity.
Has discovered it has sort of teenage hits, kind of a new fangled rhythm. And he doesn't want to do it. He wants to sit on the stool and smoke a cigarette and be cool. Even when he capitulates, he does it with a kind of a defiant honesty that will be his hallmark throughout his career.
He wanted to do things his way, first of all, what he thought was the right road to take for his career.
I cannot deal with him.
His dreams were realized.
A sex symbol.
Everything you did on every take, you just took it all on the record, but you couldn't do that.
The true recording artist, in that he was happy in the studio because he could control his environment. He had performance anxiety.
You just stand there and just watch him on the side of the stage, and he was just, and even in not knowing how to dance, he was so beautiful.
What? So beautiful.
How can you not know how beautiful you are?
She called me up. She said, guess what? I said, what? I said, I don't start it.
That's the has that growl that you know people will love to hear from him, and I think that's what made it really work, because it just
Pedro Show last music for this edition, The Thin Night from Ivan the Tolerable. Coming to a live gig soon.
With a better look.
Yeah. You know, monkeys are flying out of my ass.
Okay. I know what happened. Gigs will be put back on and then I'll lose interest.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Dead Man Singing from Little Annie and Paul Wallfish. That's got Kid Congo powers. Great cat, man. Kid Congo. An Endless Contortionist after that with some live Ushida Movement number 2. And then finally, King of Time. Of course, Ivan the Tolerable is the King of Time. And that's all we got. It's time. I remember there's this Mickey Rooney prison movie, and that's... They're always talking about time, right? Because they all got death sentences. So they're all looking at more time, more time. So, of course, they start a riot. Yeah, they run out of time. They all get shot. Shit. But what are you looking at future-wise, music-wise, Ollie?
Well, I've got... All of a sudden, I've got a computer that's got 5 finished albums on.
Right.
So I'm trying to find labels for them at the minute. So if anyone's listening and want to put a record out, give me a shout. I'll go hundreds.
Right.
What else? We've been working, me and Adjie have got, I think you play, when Adjie was on your show last, he played a couple of rough mixes of University Challenged.
That's right.
Which is, we finished that record today.
Oh, is it?
So me and Adjie have been, that album's finished. We've started the new King Champ album. So we're going to crack on with that next. I've got an album with Karen that I've nearly finished. That's just getting mixed. And then I'm just really just want to play some gigs.
Right. When AJ does a King Champion tune with you, does he send you a demo?
We don't normally work. We normally just we do everything by album. So we'll do an album, and the album normally starts with AJ going, getting days, because there's 9 of us. It's hard to pin down, so we have to work like well in advance to find like free time in people's diaries. And when we get a recording chunk booked in with Adjie, he'll then send, like, a couple of weeks before, and he'll send some just, like, rough guitar doodles or to us and say, like, this is the sort of thing. And then me and the drummer go into Adjie's studio, and we just, like, just jam around for, like, 3 or 4 days solid. And Adjie just records everything, and then we go home. And then he gets on his computer, and he sort of shapes everything into
pieces
tracks.
Together. Yeah.
And then it just kind of, then the brass comes in and he does the same with them. And then when that's done, he'll send rough mixes to Sock and he'll be writing in the background. And then Adjie will get on with the guitars. And then it just kind of just, it takes a long time because we have to work so sort of sporadically because we're all over the place.
Right. But you do get together in Amsterdam with the rhythm section. That's important. Where can people find you on the internet, Ollie?
I've got Bandcamp's the best one for everything. I've got a Bandcamp for everything. Okay, but the Ivan the Tolerable Bandcamp is ivanthetolerable.bandcamp.com, I think.
Right.
And King Champion is the same.
And people don't confuse it with Ivan the Terrible. Different bands.
Very different person.
Also, that dude was like from 500 years ago.
And I'm much nicer.
Right. He's kind of retired, thank God. And Ollie's still in the ring and kicking like Kato.
So, yeah.
You might get confused from the spelling, but they are different entities.
Yeah, now, very different.
Like you said, you've been working since you were 16. You've been doing music even before then.
Yeah.
Well, that's a buttload of time. What about a younger person getting into this? What would be your advice?
Never, ever get music lessons. That's always my advice. Teach yourself. Don't get some old fart to teach you how to play Stairway to Heaven. You're wasting your time.
Be the auto.
Just pick a guitar up and try and just put the music you like on and then just try and play along with it. And then you'll find yourself just going off.
I'm trying to think of the complicated word. I think it's autodidact.
Yeah, I've got there's an Ivan the Tolerable album called that.
Oh, right. Yeah. Self-taught, right?
Self-taught, yeah.
And then if you do a lot of things, you're a polymath. So,
I get that a lot as well.
But it's not a bad thing, right? Because you don't have to lose one thing to learn another thing. You're just increasing your vocabulary.
That's all. That's exactly how I look at it.
That's right.
I just, like, my girlfriend's got these. I live with my girlfriend, and she's got 2 pianos because she's like a classical piano player. And so when she goes out, I'm just like banging away on a beautiful piano. And she doesn't understand it, but. She can play, like, perfectly, but I'm just like, she's like, how can you just play the same note over and over again? And I was like, I just like the sound of it.
And maybe a little percussive.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in the old days, same with the guitar. It was in the rhythms. In the old days, rhythm sections weren't just bass and drums. They also had piano and guitar.
Yeah, the whole thing. The whole band was basically a rhythm section.
Yeah, except for the horns.
Yeah. And then lead guitarists came
along.
Everyone.
No, that changed everything. Yeah, well, kind of reinvented the Paganini.
Yeah, and I've never, ever, ever been in a band that's had guitar solos, thank God.
Yeah, AJ don't do that. Yeah, he don't do that.
No,
Look, Ollie, it's been a great honor to have you on the show.
It's been lovely to talk to you.
You get another 5 records, or just even another one, whenever you want to come back on, will you come on, please?
Oh, of course, definitely. I'll send you some stuff when it comes to the time.
You betcha. People, it's been the August 19, 2020 edition of the Wap Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.